Exodus chapter 40. The message tonight is open for business. I'll read you one verse before we read from Exodus chapter 40. Listen to what God said in Exodus chapter 25. He says, bring all these materials that I've told you of, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now, in chapter 40, all this transpired as God has instructed, and it says in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou rear up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and thou shalt put therein, now notice these things we're going to consider as time allows, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and thou shalt screen the ark with the veil, and thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are upon it, and thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof, and thou shalt set the golden altar for incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the screen of the door to the tabernacle, and thou shalt set the altar of burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and thou shalt set the laver between the tent of meeting and the altar, and shalt put water therein, and thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the screen of the gate of the court, and thou shalt take of the anointing oil, and so forth, and so forth. Now, look at verse 17. The Lord told them that on the first day of the first month, they would rear up the tabernacle, and this time, the building was finished on time. Verse 17. And it came to pass, in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up, and Moses reared up the tabernacle, and laid its sockets, and set up the boards, and put in the bars, and so forth, and so on, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of meeting, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward throughout all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and there was fire therein by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout their journeys. Now, look at chapter 9 of Numbers. Leviticus 9, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel and tell them to take a calf. Look at verse 4. For today the Lord appeareth unto you. Verse 7. Moses said unto Aaron, draw near unto the altar, and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering, and make atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the oblation of the people, and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded. And Aaron drew near unto the altar. Now, verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And the blessing is this: the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You will find that those were the words he was instructed to speak in Numbers 6. Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people, and there came forth fire from before the Lord, and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we're so thankful that the children of Israel, at the very first, who were slaves in Egypt, who had no God of their own for so many years, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for hundreds of years, our Father, had not been worshipped, but as slaves in Egypt. But in your grace, you sent Moses, and you graciously condescended to dwell among them. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And we have read this night that when they made that tabernacle according to the pattern that you told them from heaven, when it was completed, you filled that tabernacle. Your glory was there, and your cloud overshadowed it. We're so thankful that we see that these people that were without hope, that were slaves, now have a God and have a place of worship and have access to their God. Our Father, we thank you that something greater than that has happened in our case. And we have access to thee in another way, a new and living way. And we pray that these things shall come to our minds as we consider some of these passages tonight. So bless us as we open up these scriptures and illumine us, we pray. Indeed, we thank you for the day, for the blessings, the fellowship, the joy that has been ours. And now, your lambs and your sheep need food again tonight, so impart that to them. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I told you of that lovely passage when the tabernacle was completed and Moses, who was the mediator, the one who saw to it that everything was made according to the pattern, that everything was directed the way it should be. When he saw that it was completed, he took his older brother, Aaron. Aaron is 3 years older than Moses, but Moses is the mediator, and Moses takes him in and introduces him to this holy place where his ministry closest to God shall take place. He goes in and shows him where he's going to work. He points out the articles of furniture and what is to be done with them, and then both he and Aaron come out. And not Aaron alone blesses the Lord, but Moses blesses the Lord as well. And then they are open for business. For the first time, a sacrifice in a place that God has ordained, on an altar that God has ordained, was to be offered. And I was looking to see the first customer. That is so interesting when a place opens for business. The first customer of all things was Aaron. God said, now that you are here as the high priest, the first thing you have to do is to offer a sacrifice for your sins. And then he turned to the people and he said, and they are to have a sacrifice offered for their sins. A remarkable thing. But later on, and you check me out on this, finally, when Aaron had offered a sacrifice for his sins, he was the first custom, and then the children of Israel as a whole had sacrifices offered because of their sins. Then you will find that the princes of the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 7 come and they offer sacrifices to the Lord. Now, so many things come to mind. I'll never tell you everything. So just take what I give you. So what happens is this. When the first ones who come to the tabernacle for the purpose not getting something for God, not getting forgiveness or having their sins attended to, but for giving something to God, these 12 princes of the children of Israel had looked over the tabernacle and had understood the duty of, you see, there were three sons. There was Kohath, Gershom, and Merari, and each one of these sons had responsibilities for the tabernacle. And when they saw the greatness of the burdens that were to be carried, these princes got together and they said, we are going to give 6 wagons and we're going to give 12 oxen, 2 oxen for every wagon. And they said, now you may give 2 wagons and 4 oxen to the children of Gershon. And you may give 4 wagons and 8 oxen to the children of Merari. And if I had time, I would show you why. But you might ask this question. Well, you said there were 3. There was Kohath and Gershon and Merari. And Gershon and Merari have wagons to help them carry out their requirements before the Lord. But Kohath was given nothing. Why? Because the precious articles of furniture of the tabernacle were not to be carried in a car and drawn by any animals, but they were to be carried upon the shoulders of the children of Israel. A great honor. Some would say, how unfair that God would make us carry these articles of furniture, whereas Gershon and Merari have wagons to do their work for them. But it was the greatest honor for them to carry the Ark of the Covenant, the brazen altar, the golden altar. All of these articles of furniture were carried manually upon the children of Israel. But what is so important is this, and it's an exhortation to you elders. Those who serve the Lord live by faith. And because of that, little attention, no thought is ever given. They live by faith, but it's between them and God. But think of these leaders in Israel looking over the situation and saying, something else is needed to assist these men. And when they came to offer those sacrifices, God said, accept those sacrifices. Is that not lovely? That at times, God puts upon the hearts of men something, and they see, and what they suggest is accepted by God. And what a blessing. Think now. The largest piece of furniture was the brazen altar, which was 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet and 4.5 feet tall. Think of that vast piece of furniture. Wood overlaid with brass or probably copper, and that had to be carried on the shoulders. That was one thing. But then think of all the pillars, the wood, the heavy pieces of the tabernacle that had to be carried. What God did was they put those in the wagons and let the oxen pull them. So some things God allows oxen and wagons to carry, and other things God says, these are so precious, it is a great honor for you to carry them. And I'm thinking of this. I spoke this morning about Christ saying, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son. And his Son was glorified by manifesting his obedience unto death and giving himself to the Father. He was glorified. Now, this was an honor to the Lord Jesus, that he could be obedient unto death, and therefore the burden, the sin of the world, was placed upon him. And so in like manner, here are things that are heavier to carry. The duties are more burdensome for the children of Kohath, but God says, I want you to carry them on your shoulders. And they willingly accepted that burden. Some people, they want to cast off the burden and let somebody else carry it, but some willingly accepted. And the Lord Jesus said, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And here is a portion of scripture similar to it. When Peter was being spoken to by Christ, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He said, then take care of my lambs and my sheep. He said, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted to. He said, but when you shall become old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry you where you do not want to go. This, he said, signifying by what manner of death he should glorify the Lord. Now, do you not know this? that unless the Lord comes, you're going to die. And so the only important thing left for me to do, now that I've tried to serve God the rest of my life, is to see to it that when I die, it will be a death that glorifies my God. And Peter, who had denied the Lord when he died, was going by his death to glorify the Lord. Think of Ananias and Sapphira and their death. Their death was not glorifying to the Lord. It was dishonoring to the Lord. But Peter's was going to glorify God. And so in like manner, whatever burdens we have to carry, if they are heavy, if they are difficult as we go through life, we have to carry them every day that the tabernacle is dismantled. The answer is every day. Then we accept it because it is a way by which God can be glorified. To think, and they would not know it at the time, of all the precious significance of these articles of furniture, and they were carrying them through the wilderness as they went to the promised land. And it's a picture of the Christians. You heard the song, "Take the name of Jesus with you." They were taking the Lord Jesus symbolically with them upon their shoulders as they went through the wilderness. And this was a great honor. And so in one sense, Christ says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the consummation of the age, the end of the world." There was another sense when God said, "Now, take up this tabernacle and carry it with you through the wilderness." The Lord Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. But it is certain that when you travel through life, you take the Lord Jesus with you upon your shoulders, that it's the most precious thing imaginable to be able to carry the Lord Jesus with you through life. To walk with God is one thing, but when God says, "Carry this tabernacle through the wilderness," it is another thing. So, they are open for business, and this is one of the saddest things that I have to tell you. The very day that the tabernacle was opened, and Aaron was able to offer sacrifices, his two eldest sons, he had four, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Nadab and Abihu presumed to offer strange fire upon the altar on the day of their consecration, if I figure it correctly, on the very day that they've been consecrated. Then they presumed to go in and offer fire that was strange in a manner that was contradictory to all that God had set forth. How quickly we depart out of the way. I think of Israel. When Moses goes into the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, as soon as he comes down, they've made a golden calf in the valley. And as soon as God has this tabernacle open, and the two eldest sons of Aaron are able to minister, they go in and minister incorrectly before God. How sad. And God is not going to tolerate it. This is why I wonder about people today that look at the things that God has told us to do, and we say, "Well, this can be set aside, and this can be set aside, and this is not important." It was so important that when they offered strange fire, the fire of God came from heaven and destroyed them. And Aaron was not permitted to sorrow, and his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, had to take over from there. There should have been four sons, and we should have read of the descendants of Eleazar, of Nadab and Abihu, but they were destroyed, and their genealogy is passed over to Eleazar and his son, and Ithamar's son are the ones that fill the priesthood. So remember that. We have the Word of God, and what you and I as Christians do is boast about following the Word of God more perfectly. The whole counsel of God, will you not realize that if we have this pattern from God, God demands that we observe that pattern, and the heavier judgment shall be upon us. And so beware when you're looking around and criticizing all the sects and schisms of men, lest you find out that you cannot be like Nadab and Abihu, and God, in destroying those that you say he will destroy you. But now, when I said open for business, you do not know the magnitude of all that was involved once that tabernacle was completed and God said, "Now, people may start coming." Because with every article of furniture, attention was to be paid to it. Now, this is the way the articles of furniture are. The tabernacle always faced the east. And as you went in the court of the tabernacle, the first thing you would see was the brazen altar. It's also called the altar of burnt offering because that was its primary function. The burnt offering offered every morning. You have the brazen altar, and then between the tabernacle and the brazen altar, you have the brass laver. And then you go into the holy place, and on the left, you have the lampstand with its seven lights. And immediately in the middle, you have the golden altar of incense. And then on the right, you have the table of showbread. And then you have this veil that we read about. I mentioned it this morning. The veil was rent. You had this veil. And on the inside of the veil, you have two other articles of furniture that are looked upon as one. You have the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of it is the mercy seat. But they are inseparable. You have the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And so in all, there were seven pieces of furniture, but the seventh is looked upon as one piece of furniture, because if it were not covered by that mercy seat, how destructive would be the actions of God if there were not the covering of that Ark of the Covenant. So each one of these articles of furniture, just as each part of the material of the tabernacle, presents Christ to us. Here is what confuses some people. They look upon the articles of furniture and they say, that is Christ. But then they have the sacrifices that are offered upon the articles of furniture, and you say, well, if the furniture is Christ, what are these sacrifices? The sacrifices are also Christ. Or what about Aaron who brings the sacrifice and puts it upon the brazen altar? The brazen altar is Christ. The sacrifice is Christ. Who is Aaron? Aaron is Christ. It says in the Psalms that every whit of God's dwelling place says glory. And Christ is seen in every part of the tabernacle and all of its furniture. And this is the way that you understand the interpretation. The Bible speaks about a parable in the mouth of a fool, and also people go wild when they start trying to interpret the tabernacle, but God has cautioned us, and God has given us the key. And you simply look throughout the Word of God. The Bible says this, in thy light shall we see light. Do you know who can give you the most light on the Bible? The Bible itself. Now, in Hebrews you read this, we enter through the veil, which is Christ's flesh. You say, the veil is Christ's flesh. And the veil is made of fine, fine linen, and blue, and purple, and scarlet. So anytime you have fine, fine linen, the linen in its barrenness is simply Christ in its humanity. And then when you add the blue, and the purple, and the scarlet, and as in the ephod, it's made of fine, fine linen, you add the gold, all of these things are but additions and explanations of the humanity of Christ. God has said, the veil which is his flesh. And I read in John chapter 1, the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. That's the Word, dwelt among us. It tabernacled among us. And so you say, well then, the whole tabernacle is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, of course it is. Now, about the furniture. All you do is keep reading, and in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, it starts telling us the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. And when it comes to the word mercy seat, you say, so, mercy seat. But if you look up in the original language, the word mercy seat in Hebrews 9, you'll find that it's the same word in Romans chapter 3, where it says, God has set for Christ a propitiatory, a mercy seat. You say, well then, that mercy seat is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, of course it is. So now understand, if the fine, fine linen is the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the mercy seat is Christ the propitiation, the propitiatory. You say, well then, all the materials of the tabernacle tell us of Christ, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, they tell us of Christ. Why, of course. Because if one article of the furniture tells me of Christ, then I have enough intelligence to say, well then, the other articles of furniture tell us of Christ as well. So, when you go to the tabernacle, yes, look at it. Architecturally, look at it, see its structure. But, if while looking at it in a physical way, you do not grasp Christ, when you look at the veil, which is his flesh, and when you look at the mercy seat, and you do not see Christ, the propitiation for our sins, then you have missed out entirely, and you know no more than the Israelites knew. But now, I am not in darkness anymore. The veil is taken away, and when I see that brazen altar, it is an aspect of the work of Jesus Christ. When I see the labor, it is an aspect of the work of Jesus Christ. Now, I must tell you this, because most people say the ark, the labor, is Christ, but they are never Christ actually. They are Christ potentially. That brazen altar without a lamb on it is simply the potential of Christ to bear sin. When you have a lamb on the altar, you have Christ fulfilling the potentiality bearing sin. When you have the labor, here is the potential of Christ to cleanse us daily from our sin. But until you put the water in it, it's only the potential. But once the water gets in it, then the potential is realized. Do you see? And so all of these articles of furniture have to have something added to them. You have the lamp. But until you put oil in it, it's not going to burn. And you have the altar of incense, but until you put incense upon it, no fragrance is going to ascend to heaven. And when you have the table of showbread, but you have no bread on it, then there is nothing there for that table to support. But each article of furniture is Christ in some potential, and then when you do what God prescribes to be done with each article of furniture, then it is Christ fulfilling the potential that is displayed by that article of furniture. All right. There are so many things, and what I will do is this. To show you the accuracy and what is so remarkable about this brazen altar, it's the first thing that an Israelite would see when he came to the courtyard of the tabernacle. And unless he came with a sacrifice, you have a screen shutting him out, and the priest would be waiting there, and if a man came up and looked in, the priest would say to him, "What are you doing here?" "Oh, I just want to look around," he would say. "I'm sorry, go away." But if a man had brought a sacrifice, "Why have you come?" "I've come to offer this sacrifice," the priest would say, "Come in." And what I'm thinking is that each Lord's Day, here we come, and we come to the Lord's Supper, and the Lord said, "What are you doing here?" You say, "Well, I just want to look around." Well, this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 14. What is it then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you, hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation. Do you see? Every one of you has something. And what eventually you have to learn is this, that you have the priesthood in the Old Testament, but that priesthood has been done away. Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. And now there is no man by his race or descent who is a priest of God. But all those who have been born into God's family are priests of God. And you will find the priesthood mentioned twice in 1 Peter chapter 2. And you will find it mentioned three times in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, chapter 5, chapter 20. And therefore, we are called kings and priests in Revelation. And it tells what's going to happen to us as kings and priests. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says that you are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God, acceptable through Jesus Christ. So, as Aaron and his sons offered up physical sacrifices, we are a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, and we offer up spiritual sacrifices to God, acceptable through Jesus Christ. And the second part is this. We are a royal priesthood to show forth the excellences of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. But the word is the same word as to announce, to preach, and it says, we are a royal priesthood to speak forth the excellences of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So think, we speak forth the excellences. We offer up spiritual sacrifices. To whom do they go? You say, well, they go to God. But to tell forth the excellences of God, to whom do we tell them? I told you about the excellences of Christ this morning. And so as priests, we have speech. We utter spiritual sacrifices to God, and we tell the spiritual excellences of God with our lips to anyone who will listen. The sinners to the children of God. And so this is what God expects of us. Now, let me just tell you about this brazen altar, because it is Christ in His potential of making atonement for our sins, His ability to bear sins, because every different material has a different significance. You'll find that brass depicts the strength of God, and silver depicts the riches of God, and gold depicts the glory of God. And you may follow it through as you look at all of these articles of furniture. And some of them are made of gold, and some of them are made of brass, and some of the supports have silver. And so you look through, and each time you look at them, if you'll put the interpretation that I've given to you, that is verified by the other portions of the Word of God, then things will begin to open up. And you will see Christ, and God is telling us as plainly of Christ in this brazen altar as He is when John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the Father is saying, do you see this brazen altar? Do you see that sin offering? Do you see that burnt offering? Do you see the fat of the animals upon it? These are the excellences of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have been offered unto me upon the altar. Now, this is what is so remarkable, and it's a study in itself, but I will just tell you a little bit about it. It tells, you'll read it first of all in Exodus chapter 29, but then if I read you about each portion of furniture, it would tell it in detail. But God said, every morning and every evening, you are to offer a lamb 1 year old without spot or blemish. You are to offer it also with a meal offering. The meal offering is to have oil upon it. There is frankincense upon it. And a drink offering is to be offered as well. And so, the first thing that Aaron had to do, when the time came between 3 and 6 o'clock in the afternoon, because it says at evening, it's between the two evenings, which is interpreted between 3 and 6 o'clock, beginning that very day, between 3 and 6 o'clock, a lamb had to be offered upon that brazen altar. And then, in the evening, as in the morning, 12 hours later, if you take it that way, Aaron had to get up between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning and offer that burnt offering again. And with it, the meal offering, and I told you this, not only that meal offering associated with the lamb, but there was a distinct meal offering itself that half was offered in the morning and half was offered in the afternoon. All right. I told you how much activity Aaron and his sons had to carry on. Just read these articles of furniture and see how much attention had to be paid to them. But this is what is so beautiful, that once the lamb had been completely consumed to ashes, you would think that Aaron would simply go or send his sons, and they would take the ashes and spread them out, throw them out, the way we used to when we burned coal so many years ago. But the remarkable thing is this. Aaron has on his colorful garment, And when he's going to take out the ashes, God says, put on the holy linen garment. Linen garment. And when you do, you take those ashes from off the altar, and you set them on the east side of the altar. And then you go and get out of your ministering garment, and put on other garments, which I take to be your ordinary clothes that you wear when you walk through life. Put on those garments, and take those ashes without the cap to a clean place. Now, think for a moment. I told you that the Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that Lamb is reduced to ashes, it is Christ saying, it is finished. Why? Because if the sacrifice is completely burnt to ashes, there's nothing more that the fire can do. And the ashes, Christ saying, it is finished. But two things happened. When Christ died on the cross, they came and took him down from the cross and wrapped him in linen clothes, and then they took him out and laid him in a tomb wherein another man yet lay. And there were two actions. That Christ, being finished, reduced to ashes, he's taken from the cross and he's placed on the eastern side of this brazen altar, and then Aaron changes his clothes and he takes the ashes again in a brazen pot and he takes them outside the camp to a clean place, and the ashes are placed there. And the Lord Jesus was placed first by loving hands in a tomb, and then the Lord Jesus Christ is now at God's right hand away from mankind in a clean place outside the camp, the defiling camp of Israel. And that is a remarkable thing. And something else I haven't told you that I must tell you. You'll find that all the animal sacrifices were sacrificed on the north side. When an animal was brought in, let's see, north, south, west, and east. For that reason, the animal was sacrificed on the northern side of the altar, which is the place of death. The word north means death, gloomy, dreary, darkness. And the north side is the place that the sacrifice was slain. And the east side is always the side of the sun rising, which speaks of hope and of resurrection. Think of that. The Lord Jesus reduced to ashes, and then he's taken down and placed on the east side of the altar, the place of the ashes, hope and resurrection. And then the reality of it is when he's taken outside the camp to a clean place. And these are some of the things that God tells us. Let me just mention what each other one means. Christ and his ability to bear sin, that's the brazen altar. The labor is Christ and his ability to keep us clean from defilement as we go through life. Every time that the priests went in or came out of that tabernacle, they had to wash their hands and feet. And the Lord Jesus said, you only need one bath. He that is bathed needeth not save to wash just part of his body. That is what the labor is. You'll find that this lampstand is Christ, the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And this incense altar is Christ in his intercessory work. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And this table of showbread, it is he who supports us physically and also nourishes us with that bread that is upon the table, and it had to be upon that table always. And therefore, the responsibility of Aaron was to keep bread upon the table, to keep incense upon the altar, and to keep oil in the lamp burning. And these things have devolved upon us. And therefore, what physically was required of Aaron and his son, these things are now required of us. Let us be faithful to the priesthood that is ours. Let us pray. Our Father, we give you thanks for all that you tell us about your Son. We see how great our privileges are today. Let us not forget the responsibilities that are associated with them. But let us know what it is each morning and each evening to offer up Christ that burnt offering. Let us know what it is to be clean. Let us let Christ shine upon us as we go through life. Let us feed upon Him, the bread, and let us rejoice that He ever lived to make intercession for us. And we are so glad that He's entered into the holiest by His own blood. And indeed, now, it is a mercy seat. We thank You for all things You tell us of Christ. May they be precious to our hearts to pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.